Hello, Peter Lynham.
And how are you going there, James?
I'm good. Now, excellent. What are we chatting about this afternoon? Are we taking a look at Australian politics?
Yes, this is such a strange thing that the Australian government, the Liberal government or Liberal National government, has for several years, really since 2017 at the time of the big debate there, that very late debate on same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. They said they would introduce an act of parliament that would protect religious from minorities from being coerced by the majority. And it's interesting, that thought has never occurred or been suggested in New Zealand, mm-hmm. that there was need for additional protection for religious minorities. But it seems to have been part of the way in which support was bought from especially the National Party, the junior partner of the coalition government in Australia, to get them to say, we'll protect religious minorities. Now, since then, the Israel Folau case, which we've talked about, has come along. And it's an interesting question how much that case could be construed as a case of religious discrimination. And there's been a hot debate in Australia, of course, on the whole Israel Folau issue and who's in the right and who's in the wrong.
He's obviously got fairly conservative views, homosexuals going to burn in hell and that sort of carry on. And does that fit the box of a religious minority?
This is where the government, who were supposedly carrying shining lights to protect religious minorities, suddenly seemed to want to duck for cover because either way they called it would be make it very unpopular.
Yes.
Because, as you might recall, in fact, it was, I think, Qantas or one of the big companies that were sponsors of rugby in Australia, or was it football in Australia, who, you know, called that we can't sponsor any club that backs religious discrimination, backs some discrimination against or attacks sexual minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So all they've said is, well, it would probably end up being a court case, but they didn't predict the outcome according to their bill. So the aim of the bill is to say that if you're a religious minority, you can't be miss out on selection for jobs because you want to dress in a certain way or take certain holidays or the like, unless health issues are at stake.
Mm.
And if health issues are at stake, then you can. And it was a critical part of the case. And this probably is important to Scott Morrison because you might again recall that, although it was Malcolm Turnbull who introduced this, subsequent prime ministers have tended to come from religious margins, shall we say. And Scott Morrison, as a member of a Pentecostal church, certainly comes from one of the marginal groups.
Mm-hmm.
So the case that was raised was, did, for example, church schools had to conform to protecting LGBTs in employment, and did churches have to be, could they be forced into line? And a lot of this is kind of scurrilous debate, which would never actually happen, because why would somebody want to work for an organisation that so totally disagreed with their values?
Mm-hmm.
And surely it would seem obvious that a church could not make its facilities available for a same-sex marriage if they were a Catholic church and didn't approve of it. But that was the idea, that there would be a piece of legislation that would protect various of these kind of marginal areas. So they've set to work and produced a bit of legislation, because everything that happens throws a few questions up into the air, and it's the Israel Folau one that's interesting, because does your religious right confer on you the right to condemn other people to hell,
mm-hmm.
and to use pejorative language about people?
Yes. I mean, in that case, you can see how it reflects very poorly on the organisation who are, trying to be inclusive somewhat.
Yes, Yeah, so, you know, how far do you go? Right. And the boundaries of how you go is interesting. Because, of course, there were several phases to the Israel Folau case where, you know, for a start, he's sort of accused of this, and then he starts tweeting comments. So I think that it's very tricky. And you can argue that this piece of legislation is totally, you know, vague and totally beside the point, because...
is it going to have any teeth? I mean, has it got to the stage where it's ready to pass, or have the government sort of...
No, it's not ready to pass. It's okay. The moment that they've finally introduced a piece of draft legislation, because they've been waiting for 3 years
yes.
for the promise to turn into some legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could agree on exactly what they were aiming to achieve. And so, I mean, in the extreme cases are religious schools,
yes,
church schools, and churches themselves and the use of their buildings.
Mm.
And in New Zealand, that certainly churches are exempt from the human rights legislation in certain specific areas. So you can't force the Catholic Church to have women priests.
Yes.
Through our legislation, mm-hmm. and you can't force any denomination to ordain gay people, for example.
And in the instance of this legislation, is it going to protect those groups' rights in Australia to maintain those sort of, maintain those positions?
Well, yes, I think it is. I think Australia is a more conservative country than Australia, and it will protect the schools more clearly, because a big point of debate, say in the States, has been that Catholic-related organisations, so schools and orphanages and places that organise adoptions, were forced to come under state laws that said that they couldn't select or exclude gay or lesbian couples from the right to adopt.
Yes.
So those were quite hot issues. And I would think the Australian legislation will come down protecting the rights of churches and their para-organisations to take some positions that are contrary to what the state says.
It's kind of not surprising after the other week when we talked about the hand that religion had in Australian politics. I mean, to my surprise the other week, I was like, what? It's that conservative and it's that prevalent within, you know, political parties in Australia, and... you know, politicians hold these sort of conservative viewpoints, but it kind of makes sense now that, I mean, they would be protecting some of these more conservative parties.
Yes. So that much, yes. But then, you know, apart from that, it all seems like when it comes to employment in a commercial company, see, I mean, we've talked before now about the cake decorator in the States that was forced to decorate a cake for a gay couple or pay them compensation. And it doesn't appear as though this legislation is going to step into that thorny area.
Yeah.
It looks as though commercial companies will not receive religious protections in this kind of way.
In the article you sent through mentions, I just came through it, mentioned something about the size of the companies, and they were companies that turned over more than $50 million a year. So it's kind of fairly large organisations that this legislation was targeting.
Yes, that's right. And so possibly a little cake decorating company
can do what they want.
Would be able to do what they want.
Yeah.
But exactly why a big company is different from a small company, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There are a whole lot of intriguing cases. For example, Exclusive Brethren have big business interests in Australia.
Yes.
And would they be protected by this? Might depend on their size.
Mm.
So there's that. There's also the interesting issue of charities. You know, how far... because a lot of charities have their origins in religious bases, but they've tended to raise money from the general public. So why should they be protected from, you know, rules about employment? Why should they reject a Sikh because of their headdress or something like that?
Mm.
So it looks like it's going to be a very messy debate trying to work out what the boundaries of this are.
In the example of Israel Folau, what's your prediction? I mean, because he's essentially spouting views. I mean, they are his religious views, but they're somewhat out of touch with what feels like society.
I don't think it's that they're out of touch. Mm. I think it is that these views are calculated and you know, set up in order to offend other minorities.
Yes.
And so it's at that point that, I mean, human rights have to protect people from defamatory remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the it looks like the legislation will not call very clearly in favour of Folau because of the kind of abusive aspect of it. If he had just said that he couldn't, you know, he needed to keep his distance from, and he couldn't espouse the values of this,
mm-hmm.
he would have been okay.
Yes.
But if he starts abusing other people, I think that's a little bit different. But you see, nobody really knows for sure, because that's where they're going to get themselves into a very messy situation. I mean, the simple fact is that various human rights contradict other human rights.
Mm.
And, you know, an interesting question might be, will there be, as it seems like it's being asserted in the States, a religious right to refuse vaccinations?
Goodness me.
You see? And I think, again, that health and safety would trump that right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that the moment they start working out a hierarchy of which right is higher than other rights, you're into the stuff of endless, endless debate. And probably the pragmatic approach of New Zealand works a lot simpler than trying to work it out in definite legislation.
For sure.
But it's, well, you've got to give it to the Australians that when you want to defend a conservative society, you pass a piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what they're doing in this case.
Totally. All right, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for chatting to us this afternoon. We'll check in with you next week.
Look forward to it. Bye-bye.